This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Craig Fulton, Chief Product Officer of ConnectWise. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how are you doing?
In this morning's keynote, CEO Arnie Bellini laid out the strategy for ConnectWise to become an open platform for technology solutions partners. In the past, companies have acquired or organically grown their own functionality. You demonstrated on stage a network mapping tool, for example. Where does the balance lie for internal product growth, but still maintain that open platform and not swallowing up what your solution partners are doing?
That's a great question. Whenever we look at our platform, first and foremost, we want to cover business operations. We want to make sure we have the essential functionality to cover the end-to-end business, marketing, sales, procurement, service delivery, service and support, and billing. We want to get those features down on our platform, and then we leave it open for others to integrate their systems in, and there are times where there could be a little overlap. The network mapping, for example, there are solutions on the market, like Avik is a solution that does network mapping, but it also has very advanced monitoring and management. We heard from our partners, it'd be really great if we just had a basic network map piece in there. And we looked at it and thought, that's something we can develop in-house and get a return on investment on, but we don't want to go so far as to build a robust network management and monitoring tool. Those are things that we'll do, like when it comes to chat. Yes, there's integrated chats, but when we see that there's still pieces missing in the market that we can solve for, that's when we go after it. Like Unite, it was, do we wait for someone else to solve this, or do we solve this ourselves right now? Because we see an issue coming with people getting into as-a-service models of having to buy services, manage them, and bill for them. There's been a lot of times it is a hard balance, but we do have a lot of respect for our solution partners, and we talk to them as we go through our roadmap, and we have a unique relationship with them to ensure that we're not causing any harm in the ecosystem.
You've got a lot of security vendors in the pavilion this year, and you've also introduced a security dashboard in pilot, which mainly seems to be based around Cisco. How are those other security vendors going to get onto that platform, and when are they going to get onto that platform?
Cisco's been really great to work with because they've been responsive to things we need, right? As we started to build Unite and manage their Meraki and StealthWatch and Spark, they were very responsive to our request. Hey, it'd be great if we have an API that did this. It'd be great if we had an API that did that. And they created those APIs for us, and we built a great relationship. And then, obviously, managed security is becoming a hot service right now that a lot of people want to offer their customers. And Cisco also has that platform, so we just continued that work and thought, we have this relationship now. Let's just keep rolling with this. We'll build out the advanced security dashboard because we've got a great relationship there. Once we've perfected that, we'll open up that dashboard into our Invent program out to the ecosystem for anyone offering a security tool to integrate into the dashboard.
What we saw on stage today was the kind of cadence towards automation and process, which is common throughout most of the software industry at the moment. Other vendors such as Oracle announced autonomous cloud services and autonomous database and autonomous cybersecurity. What's ConnectWise's approach to the machine learning, AI, and the automation that it can drive?
We're starting out with service delivery. Service delivery is what everyone in this industry is doing. It's a core function of their business. While some businesses might not do marketing and some do, but they definitely all do service delivery. We've got a machine learning initiative going right now. We're creating a data lake where we can gather all of the data. We're building the data models on top of that, and we're going to start delivering some artificial intelligence and machine learning around the service delivery part, analyzing tickets, making suggestions in the chat in our remote control tool so we can watch behaviors and make suggestions. That is where we're starting. And I can tell you on our product team, as we're moving forward, we are implementing a machine learning piece into everything we do. We're getting to the point where no projects get a green light unless there is some machine learning or AI component in it, because we know that's the future.
What you're talking about is more augmented intelligence. Is that fair?
Yes.
And are you partnering with anybody on the AI side?
We're leveraging the cloud infrastructure that we have now inside of Amazon and the services they provide to build that into our cloud. That won't exclude our on-premise partners either. We'll be building the functionality for them to sync their data up into this service. If they want to take advantage of that, they most certainly can. Some of the reasons people do on-prem is they don't want to do that. There'll be no problem with that as we move forward.
It sounds like you're consolidating data from all your clients to identify better augmented intelligence results back. Is there a question over data privacy on that?
Yes. We take the data security very serious. We've got our own in-house security and compliance officer that reviews anything that we put into production. But Everything will be very separated out. If one partner has their data there being analyzed, it will not blend with another partner's data. We're not going that far yet. It's not to say that maybe one day we create a service where if you subscribe to it, now you're in a larger pool where you can learn from others and what they're doing. Not to say we might do that one day. We haven't approached that part of this trek. But the one that's definitely right in front of us is we want to help people improve their service delivery, be more faster and efficient. And then we'll start looking at, okay, how can we help salespeople? How can we help finance people? How can we help the business owner when we can do predictive analytics using these tools? We do want to gather all the data. I want it coming from Manage, from Automate, anyone that's integrated in. Give us stuff from Microsoft, from Cisco, from Webroot is another one of the solution partners that we work with. We want all of that data. We don't want to just isolate it to just one product in our platform.
So it sounds like you're not aggregating all the data from all your customers. You're actually applying the AI to a data set from each individual customer.
That's correct, yes.
That would infer, therefore, you're not going to take advantage of benchmarking capabilities yet across it.
Not yet. We're going to start with that and then separating it unique to each partner and then taking that next step to open it up if they allow us to do that. It would be an opt-in process, of course, but we are talking about that. We're looking at that. We're very aware that a lot of the competitors in the space are doing that.
And have you got any time scales around that?
No time frame yet. I'd be fairly certain, though, that we'll have something to show at IT Nation in November. That's usually when we do our big unveils of the stuff we've done throughout the year.
What other technologies are impacting ConnectWise software?
Some of the technologies that we're interested in to helping us is mobile technologies, getting more out of the smart device for sure, because it's aware of location, it's aware of identity. We definitely want to look at ways we can leverage that. You see Google now where you can walk in front of a building, take a picture of it, and it tells you all the information about it, or it does the translation from pictures. We definitely want to see how can we improve user experience leveraging technologies like that. I'd say that's really a big focus right now is about user experience. How can we make the job easier? There's already devices gathering data on users of our platform. We'd like to figure out a way to leverage that to automate more of what they're doing so they don't have to do the manual task of entering time. Imagine through location service technology, oh, we identified you're near a client, we'll start the time entry. You've left, we'll stop the time entry. And obviously the machine learning, the artificial intelligence is a big piece. A lot of search technologies that are becoming available in these cloud platforms we want to leverage. Business intelligence, automation too. There's a lot going on. It's something we said on stage was technology is ever changing and it is moving faster than it ever has right now. I keep telling people it seemed to be stagnant there for about 1995 to 2010. There wasn't a lot of change, but now it's pretty fast and we're keeping an eye on all of it. Trying to leverage data input that we're getting in IoT is something that is exciting for us right now that we're watching.
Mixed reality. It's interesting what you showed on the stage with the mobile video camera. Can you then take that a step further by overlaying an augmented reality onto recognize what you're showing or blockchain?
Some of the technologies that we're interested in to helping us is mobile technologies, getting more out of the smart device for sure, because it's aware of location. It's aware of identity. We definitely want to look at ways we can leverage that. You see Google now where you can walk in front of a building, take a picture of it, and it tells you all the information about it, or it does the translation from pictures. We definitely want to see how can we improve user experience leveraging technologies like that. I'd say that's really a big focus right now is about user experience. How can we make the job easier? There's already devices gathering data on users of our platform. We'd like to figure out a way to leverage that to automate more of what they're doing so they don't have to do the manual task of entering time. Imagine through location service technology, oh, we identified you're near a client, we'll start the time entry. You've left, we'll stop the time entry. And obviously the machine learning, the artificial intelligence is a big piece. A lot of search technologies that are becoming available in these cloud platforms we want to leverage. Business intelligence, automation too. There's a lot going on. It's something we said on stage was technology is ever changing and it is moving faster than it ever has right now. I keep telling people it seemed to be stagnant there for about 1995 to 2010. There wasn't a lot of change, but now it's pretty fast and we're keeping an eye on all of it. Trying to leverage data input that we're getting in IoT is something that is exciting for us right now that we're watching.
What are your challenges at the moment?
Finding talent is a challenge. There's a lot of things we want to do. There's a lot of exciting things we can do with technology, and it's hard to find the talent. When you look at development operations is one of the newer careers that's out there. We need to get more of those people in the door, finding the right talent. Some of our challenges, too, are educating our partners. We're constantly educating them on changes that are happening. There's a big shift happening in managed services right now. For the longest time, if you said you're an MSP, it meant, yep, I do server and workstation monitoring and some backup, and I provide you some support services on that. Some challenges is just watching this shift in industry of everything becoming managed and figuring out how are we going to help our partners be successful in that. What else is becoming managed? Security, physical security, digital security, backup. Obviously, that one's been managed for a while. You name it. If it's a technology, it's becoming managed. It's becoming an as-a-service, a monthly bill. I mean, those are some of the challenges we're up against right now is just educating people fast enough to see these changes that are happening, helping them adapt to the change. Even, I said talent for ourselves, but even talent for our own partners, there's a challenge there because for the longest time, it was about providing support to technology. Yep, we're a technology support company. And there's been this shift to, nope, I'm a customer support company. I'm a customer service company that just happens to be dealing with technology. Getting people to shift their mindset there because the days of I fix broken technology, those are coming to a close, and it's shifting to this mentality of I have to show the customer now the return on investment or the benefit of having this technology. So there's challenges there, educating people on that, how to run a business in that model, because the other model of I fix technology when it breaks, that's a pretty simple business model. You buy a piece of gear from a distributor or a vendor, you deliver it to the customer, one-time transaction. So now it's you've got to go to a vendor distributor and acquire a solution and pay monthly and then bill monthly. So there's a lot of education there. And things that worry me about that is how we're seeing mergers and acquisitions picking up. It's like, what's going on to really fuel this? Is it a generational thing? Is it people can't keep up with the change? You know, this is something we're really interested in watching. And we talk to a lot of our partners so we can keep up with that, help them with those challenges. And some other challenges is just moving fast enough. It's the desire to move as fast as possible. As a part of our strategy of connecting everything is even reinventing ourselves, taking ConnectWise to that next level, breaking it into light services so we can mix and match so that we can enhance faster. Imagine you've got an application that carries out 14 functions and trying to maintain that one application where if you broke that into 14 separate things, how much faster you can enhance them. Sky's the limit on challenges. We could talk for a while, but those are the things that we're currently dealing with, just moving fast.
Listen to the keynote. It was, you're educating your customers or your partners, as you call them. Are they the right audience to be educated? Because actually they're partway on the journey at least. And I spoke to Arnie earlier. He was saying that, well, you need to reinforce the basics, and I understand that concept. But how should other MSPs evolve? What do they need to think about? Because there are a lot of MSPs, TSPs, who just bike it. Set it up, support it on the odd hack and hot phone call. How do they need to change their business model and move forward?
There just needs to be a big cultural change, a change from you're supporting technology to a change of you're supporting a customer. The world is about user experience now, not just people using software, anything you interact with. Everybody wants it to be fast, simple, easy. MSPs should evolve to be able to provide that level of everything they're doing. If you come in there and try and dazzle them with, oh, look at this box with these lights on it, or look at this stuff that broke and I fixed it, that doesn't really impress them as much as, hey, look, we sold you this service, you got this technology for us, let me show you what it did for your business. You were this productive.
It's that business value piece, I think you mentioned before. How can MSPs show the business value to their customer? And that's not always easy for an MSP to do, and certainly they've never necessarily had to do before. It's a bit like the old IT department, which, you know, was there to keep the lights on. Actually, now the IT department needs to do much more. It needs to innovate, and it needs to demonstrate the business value it shows the business and how it can move it forward. Do you think the MSPs are ready to do that and ready to offer that is becoming more of a business advisory service or a technology advisory service?
I think they are. We get this question quite often. Where do I learn this skill set? How do I transform into be more consultative? With anything, with a marketing curve, you have the innovators, you have the early adopters. I mean, we see it happening. But then you see the ones that are saying, this isn't interest to me, and they're being acquired by other MSPs, giving them their customers, giving them their resources. It's that we've got to move fast, You see it happening. Just the merger and acquisition rate alone shows you how fast people want to move. They want to get the talent. They want to get the resources. They want to get the customers. They want to grow. They want to keep up. That's definitely the quickest way to it. We do see that happening quite often. In our HCG peer groups, that's always the number one rated discussion, breakout session, topic of interest. We've already done 2 breakout sessions at ConnectWise on M&A.
If they are trying to deliver that business value, and if they are moving towards more being the technology advisor, one of the things that I haven't seen in ConnectWise is that integration into line of business applications, with the exception of Office 365. If you talk about those kind of applications, you're talking about accounting like Sage, Xero, QuickBooks, or even ERP applications or manufacturing applications, which their customers will use. Is that the direction you're looking to go in to get more of those kind of partners on board and into your platform?
That's something we're certainly pursuing, our open strategy. We've developed this concept called the solutions menu, where we've identified these are the 15 types of solutions that an MSP and a TSP provides their customer, and line of business apps is one of those. We've opened up this Invent Fund to help fund integrations to companies, and if we have our partners telling us we want to start providing line of business services for these products, we'll certainly work to get them integrated in. Where I see a lot of movement on this right now is whenever you find an MSP that has very focused on a vertical. One of the surprising ones I found recently visiting a partner was how focused they were on assisted living facilities. And they specialized in the line of business app for them. They resold it, they consulted on it, they supported it, they implemented it. And then they were looking at, okay, what's the next one we can do? I think we will start to see more of that. We talked maybe offline about Dynamics. I could see it going that route. Certainly Microsoft, you could see it in what they're doing. They want their partners to start becoming the experts in these systems and then servicing them, supporting them, consulting in them. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. But we are certainly open to wanting to bring more of those in just as the demand comes about.
In talking to MSPs in the rooms today, a lot of them are local, so they don't necessarily have a vertical focus. Do you think that will change as maybe the IBIS applications come in, or do you think there's enough work on the technology in the short or medium term at least?
I think you're just always going to have a blend. You're going to find those TSPs, MSPs that are very focused, and then you're going to find them that are just general. They're pretty good at a lot of businesses, but they're really good at like one or two. We've seen that a lot. I came from an MSP, and we are very focused on accounting, doctor's offices, and construction companies. And then we just had a mix of a lot of other stuff after that that we did general technology services in. But I think we'll always see that. I don't really hear that'll get more defined. You'll either be someone that's just focused, and that's what you do, like the company I just gave the example of, this assisted living. Or you'll have a couple that you're pretty good at, and then general. I don't really see it changing. I haven't heard that yet.
One of the criticisms I heard is around not so much your product, but what your product delivers to your customers' customers. Some people found your customer portal a bit clunky. Is that something you're working on?
Great question to bring up. We've reorged our product team internally, and one of the things we did was we built a very strong product management team with a research component. And something we just started doing recently was we reach out to our partners and we ask them, can we call your customers? We want to know what their experience is and what they're looking for from you. So this year we put a pretty big emphasis on this, and we heard the customer portal, number one, by and far. I don't think I can go an hour at any event without hearing that one come up. We have a team dedicated to building a new portal at ConnectWise, and it's going to span the whole platform. So right now we have a portal specific to each product, and we're building more of a unified portal, but not just the platform, anything you have integrated in. Imagine one day having a platform where you could show them the tickets. You can show them their Office 365 information if they want to reset a password. Give them the ability to remote control their own computers. Give them their own BI dashboard inside of the portal that they can look at aggregated data across their IoT devices. We're pretty excited to be working on a new portal. And like I said, it's unique that we've decided to call all the way down to the customer, because you get a different answer when you go to the technology solution provider and say, what is it your customer needs in a portal, than when you then call the customer and say, what is it you're looking for? It doesn't match up. It's good that we're doing that. It's going to take some educating of our partners to say, hey, this is the portal you want to give your customer, because we've talked to them. It's our number one priority in development right now.
Time scale?
IT Nation in November, we'll have a tool. It could be in pilot, it could be in general release, but we'll have something there to show our community that we're serious about this. Could even be Automation Nation in June. Fingers crossed on that one, but definitely by IT Nation. We tend to benchmark a lot of our products based on our events so that we're heard when we do something big like that.
If you don't talk much about BI, your clients do. They use Power BI to draw together the data. Now, whether you're doing something on that in the background, I don't know. But it's like, are you reinventing the wheel is the problem.
Yeah, that developer kit that I showed has got a BI component, and that's going to be our answer for consolidated BI across the platform and the ability to create those reports. And, of course, we'll create some out-of-box that people can use and modify. The BI was an interesting thing because you have to look at what's already on the market that we want to leverage. You had Power BI, then we started to go on that path, and then we got a little nervous. Well, is Microsoft going to start charging for this and make this? We're going to invest all this time into leveraging Power BI, and then no one's going to want to buy Power BI. But you also mentioned the machine learning there. We are currently the chat product that we make in our platform. We consume that ourselves. Our support team uses that. And we have built some chat bots that we've put into there to help our support team get through tickets faster, looking at the text that's coming in and making suggestions of what the answers might be directly to the technician, and then starting to evolve that into, okay, now we'll just put those suggestions right back to the customer and see what they want. And they tell us, yes, this was it. No, it wasn't. And
IBM are front-ending their services with chatbots, and it reached a certain point where the questions become, okay, we now need to hand it over to the human, or, okay, they've got Watson in the background, so they're actually leveraging all the Microsoft database of knowledge base, so Watson actually delivers the answers back to the customer or to the service desk, so they're a well step ahead, but it's kind of, you can take it quite far if you want to and if you've got the resources to do so. It's one of the questions I ask you around, you know, are you partnering? Because you think, could you partner with IBM? But I kind of think, would people be willing to pay the dollar price? I don't know.
That's the tough part about development is we once started going down the path of building a GPS location tool with automated time entry. And as we got down that path, we integrated that into a map service that was free. Users used it. Oh, this doesn't feel like Google Maps. It's supposed to be cheap. I hate this thing. And when you look at, all right, how much is a Google Maps service? And you see the price. It's a lot more than people think. When it comes out to be $20,000 a month, and you're only going to make about $10,000 a month on a product, it's when you realize, okay, we're not doing this. Abandon ship. We'll focus our efforts on something else. Product management and development is an interesting thing to do.
And I think you're right. I think at the moment there's so many toys in the box to play with. We're spoiled for choice. Which ones do you pick?
And it becomes almost too much. And then when you have engineer types, they fall in love with their thing. And they get very vocal about their thing. And you can move into a room with 30 people in there with 30 different solutions that will tell you theirs is the right one. And it's a pretty hard balance.
What's your toy of choice, personally?
Oh, I'm a car guy. So I have an Audi R8. I'm excited to see Kevin Gaskell tomorrow and his experience with Porsche and Lamborghini and have a talk with him. I'm a supercar guy. First car was some old American muscle car, and then I got excited that I was able to get into a fine piece of machinery, but that's what I really love to tinker with. I love to take things apart and put them back together.
You can't do that in modern cars, though, can you?
I can, and my friends are always, what are you doing when they come over and the transmission's out of this R8 sitting there, and they're thinking, that's a lot of money if you don't get it right, but I just don't get intimidated by stuff like that anymore. I always look at it like this. It didn't grow out of the ground that way. Some person put that together so I can put that together. That's my current toy. I like watching the blend of technology in the automotive industry. Back when I was a teenager, you buy an old American muscle car, and it's just the only electrical component in there is the distributor and the starter. And if you're going to try and get anything out of that car, it was a lot of metal parts. Now, I can just plug into the computer on the car and change the way the transmission operates and make it go faster, or change the gearing of the motor and get more horsepower out of it. So that's what I really love to mess with. That's fun.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.